My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my pleasure to welcome you today to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features the inspiring messages and music of Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we will have program number 240 in our series. It is actually part two of a message that we started in a previous program. This message centered around love. And if you heard part one of this message, you will recall Pastor Phipps talking about David and Saul and the interesting experience and interaction between them, and tying the whole concept of love and loving your enemies into that experience. Today we're going to conclude this message. Part two of the message will begin after we hear some very, very special music. Music entitled Always by Pastor Wintley Phipps. That is music by Wintley Phipps. The song is entitled Always, and that's from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. Our message is about to begin, the spoken message for today's program. And I would like you to stay tuned, because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you some information as to how you may obtain an audio copy of today's message and how you may obtain information about the music that you hear on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. So stay tuned for that. Now, let's go right to the sanctuary where part two of this message, which was begun in another broadcast, is continuing. The message on loving your enemies, the story of David and Saul.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 24. The word of God says, when Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goat's rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the son of David said to him, and the men of David said to him, here is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and stealthily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his man, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words, and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went upon his way. In the darkness of his cave, David prayed. When the word reached Saul, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul took 3,000 of his best soldiers to go hunt down David. Now, was this man possessed, obsessed? David and the soldiers found a secluded cave. It was in that cave that David and his men were hiding out, waiting for the guidance of God. Saul and his soldiers looking all over for David, stopped to rest. Saul decided to enter a cave by himself, according to the scriptures, to relieve himself. It appears he wanted a rest. As he laid in the cave sleeping by himself, lo and behold, Saul had chosen to rest in the very cave where David and his soldiers were hiding out. The only thing Saul didn't know, that they were there. David's men said to David, this is not coincidence, David. This is providence. The men of David said to him, behold, the day has arrived. Come on, turn with me in your Bibles. What, 1 Samuel? Chapter what? 24. Said, here is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. This is the day, David, said his soldiers. David's men at the back of the cave whispered to their leader, you got him. Go get him. Kill him. Church, you got to know, for David, this was a serious temptation. It would be for you too. You were chased by 3,000 soldiers trying to kill you, and the leader is sitting in the cave. David knew he had done nothing wrong, but just because Saul was a jealous man and saw David as a threat, he treated David like a hunted criminal. David knew that he was being denied the basic freedoms. David's name was being dragged through the mud. Get him! Brothers and sisters, in short, it was Saul who had done David wrong, but here it was David was the fugitive. David's men saw that as David's chance, this was David's chance to get even. They saw it as David's chance to rid the world of one who hated him. David had, as they saw it, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Yeah. Here's your chance. Take control of your life, David, your future. David, what else would God, why else would God, why else would God deliver him like this to you but to kill him? David, this is a blessing from God. Get him. David gets up, leaves his men, starts making his way over to where Saul is. Saul doesn't even know David's right there in the cave. Woo! David is walking, but he's in anguish. From the back of the cave to the front of the cave, he knows there's an unsuspecting Saul. Thoughts are going through his mind. Should I or should I not? Should I kill him or should I spare him? And all those conflicting thoughts, those emotions going through his head, David knows by the time he gets to the mouth of that cave, he's got to make a decision.
That's right.
Friends, have you ever gone through an experience in your life, the pressure so great, you beg God for help, folks messing with you, and the devil puts it in your head, the answer to your problem, hurt somebody.
That's right.
Woo, are you listening to me? And don't sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't be shocked, because the devil specializes in putting that thought in people's minds. The answer to your problem is hurt somebody. You think you'll feel better if you hurt him? The truth is, you'll feel worse. God put David's experience there in this word of God, in this Bible, because God knows that many will go through such an experience that is so painful, so unjust, that you'll feel justified in thinking you can hurt somebody. David took those, oh my God. David is walking to the mouth of that cave. Echoing in his head of the words and counsel of his soldiers, hurt somebody. He knew that that was not the right thing to do. David got to the front of that cave with the advice of his men ringing in his ears. Remember, David, he doesn't mean you any good. Get him. He's trying to kill you. Kill him first. That seems logical. Somebody trying to kill you? Finish him off while you got the chance. And in verse 3, David said, in the way I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. In other words, as David worked his way to the mouth of the cave, it dawns on him that the words of his friends are a trap. They're a snare. His friends, knowing that he's struggling, God is telling me, take my time. His friends, knowing that he's struggling, are encouraging him to do what he knows is not right. And David is tired of running. He's vulnerable. And their counsel to him comes at a time when David is tired of living like a hunted man. And sometimes you just get tired. And when you get tired, you get vulnerable. And if you're not careful, your friends will give you the wrong advice. Get him. They think their advice will make him a hero, but it was only going to make him a disappointment in the eyes of God. Thank God David knew that it was not worth it to earn the throne of Israel and the displeasure of God. And David knew that it's always a hollow victory to win the approval of your friends and the disapproval of your heavenly Father. For what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And suddenly there at the mouth of the cave was David's victim. Oh, but something had happened to David on the way to Saul. By the time David got to Saul, the Holy Spirit had so worked on the heart of David that David was convicted that he was not to take Saul's life. So instead, David took a knife, cut off a corner of Saul's robe, and turned around. Have mercy. There's some of you here today. you'd have been on death row. And now you not listen to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, help us, Lord.
When the Holy Spirit said, turn around.
Turn around.
He's cheating on you.
Lord Jesus.
Turn around.
Turn around. Praise the Lord.
David was troubled. He was troubled in conscience that he had even cut off a piece of Saul's
That's
robe.
Right. That's right.
He felt bad about even doing that. When he got back, he said to his men, I will not stretch forth mine hand against him. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, for he is the Lord's anointed. David remembered, sixth commandment said, thou shalt not kill. He remembered in Leviticus 19, God said, you shall not take vengeance. You're not allowed to bear a grudge. If you're bearing a grudge, God says, you're not allowed. You don't have a right as a Christian to bear a grudge. David knew that according to God's command, it was not for David to retaliate against Saul. It was for David to leave that to the Lord. God expected David to show the same love to Saul that God was showing to David. Oh, what kind of religion is this? God gives us that kind of love that he wants us to show to our enemies. And by the way, the Lord hit me with that thought coming in this morning, that some of you don't realize, brothers and sisters, some of us don't realize that God really expects us to love our enemies. And if you can't celebrate the success of your friends, how in the world are you going to get to the level where you can love your enemies? Oh, are you listening to me today? If you can't even celebrate the successes of those who sit in the pew next to you, how in the world do you expect to get to the level where you love those who hate you? If David were to follow the advice of his friends, he would sin against God and against his brother. And if you look at Psalm 35, David said, but as for me, when my persecutors were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled myself with fasting. Verse 13. Do you understand what David said? David said, when my enemy got sick, I prayed for my enemy. With sackcloth and ashes, I humbled myself. When my enemy got sick, I fasted. And you can't even celebrate the successes of your friends, how are you going to get to this level of Christianity? When Saul rose up and went out of the cave to continue his search for David, suddenly he heard that same voice that sang to him in the palace. Suddenly he heard that same voice that he heard on the battlefield directing the soldiers. Suddenly that same voice that told Goliath that he was going down. That same voice spoke from inside the cave where Saul had been saying, my Lord. Saul swung around. And there David was. David got on his knees, bowed down and said, my Lord the King. Imagine Saul's shock and surprise. And now go with me again before I close to 1 Samuel 24, verse 9.
Help him,
Lord. After David, let's look at verse 8. After David also arose and went out of the cave, he called after Saul. Excuse me. Saul is, doesn't know that piece of his robe is gone. He's walking out of the cave and he hears, psst.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and did obeisance. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say that I want to hurt you? Why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks your hurt? And verse 10, lo, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some even bade me kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, see the skirt of your robe in my hand, for by the fact that I cut off the skirt of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. Servant of God says, when Saul heard the words of David, he was humbled. He had to admit that David was telling the truth. He was moved as he realized how completely he had been in the power of this man whose life he had sought to take. David stood before Saul in innocence with a softened spirit. Saul exclaimed, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice, and what did the Bible say? Let's go back. See, my father, see the skirt of your robe in my hand. All right. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me upon you, but my hand shall not be against you. And look at verse 16. When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and what? The king did what? He wept. He said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, in that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good. Oh, are you listening? God has turned this thing around so that David's enemy Saul is pronouncing a blessing on David. So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king. So I say, after this day, I know for sure you're going to be king. And that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. And then he said, swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul. Then Saul went home. And check this out. But David and his men went back to the cave.
Amen.
You know why? Patriarchs and Prophets, page 662. Knowing what he did of Saul's past course, David could put no confidence.
That's right. No confidence.
In the assurances of Saul.
Mercy. Yeah.
Woo! Here's a man speaking under conviction.
My Lord.
But David knew he could not even trust him.
Mercy.
Nor could he hope that the king's repentance would continue for very long.
Lord, have mercy.
So when Saul returned to his home, David went back up into the mountains.
Amen.
Couldn't even trust this jealous king.
Merciful.
Well, a lot of people feel that this, and this is a powerful portion of scripture.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that this is just about how you're supposed to treat ministers. And on one level, it is. On one level, it is. Be careful how you treat the Lord's anointed. Be careful how you speak to them, even when they are wrong and misguided. Be careful. But this portion of scripture is about much more than that. It is about how do you treat your enemies? And are you ready to move to that next level in your Christianity where you love your enemies?
Well, that concludes our message for today, and it brings us to the end of our program for today. If you would like to obtain a copy, an audio copy, of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please remember to ask for program number 240 today. That's program number 240, which will give you part two of the message on loving your enemies and the story of David and Saul. Also, if you would like to obtain more information about the music that you hear on The More Abundant Life, please write to us at P.O. Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. The zip code is 21045. That's P.O. Box 1078, Columbia, Maryland, 21045. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney, Jr. I would like to wish you God's richest blessings, and I hope that you will join us again for another program. Until you can, however, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.